Did you know that you could sponsor Nerd & Cy? That's right. For just $20, we'd say your name here. We'd say something nice about you. Or heck, we would just compliment you on those shoes. Just go to nerdandcy.com and click on the sponsor information. Or you can support our legal fund by going to gofundme.com/nerdandcy. On this episode of Nerd & Cy, the world is still in chaos and we are still attempting to survive it. Everything's just getting canceled everywhere, forever, for always. This is life now. And Ace Comic Con is suing Grotix over their coronavirus refunds, plus some mailbag and way more people than you like that have been on the show in a really, really, really long time on this episode of Nerd and Ty. Welcome to Nerd and Ty, the only podcast on the internet with a dress code, supposedly. I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining me, as always, are the wondiferous Nick Izumi.
Hello!
And the conundrum that is Gen Proc.
What's up?
And there are more people on the show with us than normal on this Monday evening that we're recording this on, because yes, we're recording on 420. I guess we're in Wisconsin.
Can't 420, really 2020.
We are not endorsing anything because we are in Wisconsin, where it is not legal. Feel like driving down to Chicago? You can go hang out with my brother. He's probably having a better time.
I'd say if you're in Illinois, it's a good day to rent the movie Cats. That's all I'm saying.
Don't spoil it. I want to see it.
Oh, man.
To
introduce the rest of the people on the call, on this kind of chaotically large episode, this will be a regular episode in the sense that we will hit the con news, what little there is. But before that, I'm going to introduce to you the whole room. Joining us from the Famicom Dojo podcast is Sean the Orange Course.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the really big shoe.
And also joining us from Let's Be Legendary, our Chris Sass Council.
Sup.
Megzy Sass Council.
Sup.
And Molly Hexcroft.
Hello.
And in theory, the folks from the folks from Cool and Unusual Punch-Out were supposed to also be with us, but their power is out because of a storm that just came through here and might hit Madison during this recording where the Let's Be Legendary folks are. So who knows
so enjoy
how long
us while you can.
So who knows how long any of this is gonna last? It's been a wild month.
It's a good philosophy for life, you know.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this has been a wild month, and so we're gonna jump into the news before we have our what was normally we would refer to as our big topic, but is apparently going to be a big pile of nonsense.
We forgot to introduce one of our hosts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and joining us from Stormwood and Associates is Kyle Johnson.
Hi.
I'm a bad person. I have been good friends. I have been good friends with Kyle for like 17 years, and I forgot to introduce him. We lived across the hall from each other in college. I stood at his wedding. He stood at my wedding.
I'm sensing a theme with this network.
Dear Lord.
Like so, you said, it's a crazy month.
Also, uh-huh. There's just a lot of people here, man. So we're going to start out within headlines. Surprising no one, San Diego Comic-Con has been canceled, and so is Anime Expo. Who'd have thought?
No.
Everything. Everything is canceled.
I mean, who would have thought that, like, San Diego Comic-Con... San Diego Comic-Con, a convention that is bigger than the last two towns I've lived in combined, shouldn't be held when there's a pandemic, even if it's in July. Who would have thought? What an unexpected twist.
I'm shocked to see gambling going on in this establishment.
I don't know, guys. Do we have a lot of discussion over the surprise of San Diego Comic-Con getting canceled?
I would like to say that for those of you who don't know, I work at a local news station, and we had to deliver that piece of news to, you know, Madison at large. And our anchor who delivered that line sounded like a mix between devastated and not actually knowing what she was reporting. So that was exciting. And I love her, but she was just like, it's like it was just announced that San Diego Comic-Con was canceled. Like, there was almost a question at the end of it. Like, she was... It was supposed to be, like, tragic news, but, like, she wasn't really sure what that was.
That just amazes me.
Yeah, and then she went on to actually describe it in with more, you know, like, she knew what she was talking about. But it was that question of, like, is that what I'm supposed to be saying? What is that?
What shape do I make with my face?
Yeah, it was great. Like, I think she thought there was another... Like, we have the show planned out, obviously, but I think she got confused because the next round that went through those two stories was, that story was switched with another one, so I think she got confused. So, and the next story was actually very tragic about a car accident, so I think she got them mixed up. So, it was very funny to have her start with, like, the tragedy of the Comic-Con? Yeah.
Comic-Con, car crash, they're both CC, so, like...
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know, it's, like, my favorite headline on this one was, I think it was Varieties, I could be wrong, but it was Varieties, where it was just San Diego Comic-Con canceled due to ... you know.
I will state the obvious, that it's really weird to be in this timeline with all of the stuff getting canceled. Like, I'm still friends with a lot of Artist Alley people, even though I don't do Artist Alley anymore. And I remember one of them was wondering back in, like, March, like, I wonder if Anime Boston is going to get canceled. And I went, nah, that won't happen. That won't happen. And then it's like the next week, it's like, yeah, they canceled. And I was like, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, no,
this is a weird timeline we're in.
Well, it's like I was supposed to be doing two conventions in April. You know, it's I was supposed to be at KuroshiCon over Easter weekend, and then No Brand Con was originally scheduled. Like, this was my, we're recording this on what was supposed to be my day off recovering from No Brand Con.
Oops.
And I mean, No Brand Con's been rescheduled for August. I'm also, full disclaimer, I'm on the No Brand Con staff, but I also had a table there that was approved before I was back in my position on the staff. It's confusing. This was going to be the exhausting convention month, and then it just turned out to be the exhausting month.
Yeah.
But we can get more into that when we get back to our when we get through the news. So the other news story we have is Ace Comic-Con is suing Grotix over their coronavirus refunds. So this happened in March. So Ace Comic-Con was supposed to have a con scheduled for March 20th to 22nd and in Boston. Obviously, that convention didn't happen. And the owners, like, this, according to Ace Universe, the owners of Ace Comic-Con, they discussed, refunds with their ticketing provider, Grotix, which earlier this year was bought by Patron, the company. Their contract their contract contained a force majeure provision, which Ace believed was triggered by the Massachusetts government ban on all events, more than 250 people. And all seemed pretty simple, but apparently it wasn't, because Ace has filed suit in the Southern District Court of New York against Grotix. Oh. According to the complaint, Ace coordinated with Grotix and provided $680,000 for Grotix to refund customers. Ace announced that they'd be refunding customers afterwards on their social media. But only 5 days later, though, Ace claims that they received a letter from Patron CEO Mark Jenkins. And this is, again, this is just according to Ace. According to the complaint, on Monday, March 16th, however, H received a letter from Mark Jenkins, CEO of Grotek's parent patron, advising it was not only withholding the money transferred to it for refunds, but was also demanding more money from Ace in regards to its own fees, directly contradicting their refund agreement. And then, like, it got even weirder. If you go into the complaint the next day, on the 17th, these concerns were realized when defendants attempted to seize and withdraw $2.3 million from Ace from an Ace bank account just a few days after the parties had agreed to cooperate in getting all the Ace customers their money back. So, according to Ace Comic Con, they're alleging that Grotek tried to surreptitiously take $2.3 million out of their bank account. Grotek, of course, denies this. Like, Grotek says that they were doing things all in their agreements and all this stuff, and says this lawsuit is nonsense. But holy cow. Like, Ace Comic Con, for people who aren't familiar, is run by a bunch of people who, like, used to run Wizard. And,
right.
And they went and created their own Comic-Con series. So it's like, that's the background. Like, if you want to know what an Ace Comic-Con like event is, it's like a Wizard World event, because it's literally the people who used to run Wizard World events starting their own label.
Well, sounds like Ace is not the place to be, contrary to popular wisdom.
That's a different Ace, Sean.
I mean,
that's still not a great look.
So, yeah, needless to say, that is a mess. And we will be tracking this lawsuit to see what happens. I assume what's going to happen with most of the lawsuits, I say, we'll be tracking this lawsuit to see what happens, is that they'll quietly settle out of court, and we will never find out what happened because of a non-disclosure agreement. But on the off chance this ends up like the Calgary Expo lawsuit or something like that, and this goes insane, we will 100% follow up on it. But, yeah. The very fact that Ace Comic Con is suing their ticketing provider under any circumstances, and they're both big companies, is, like, just kind of amazing to me. Like, it's just... Because, like, if you are then, like, any other ticketing company, like, would you be willing to work with Ace Comic-Con again?
No.
No.
You kind of shot yourself in the foot.
Real talk, when you first said that something happened between Ace Comic-Con and Grotek, my honest-to-God first thought was, is that a Pokemon? Or,
no,
like...
right?
That's where my brain went.
Nick Izumi, part of a crack convention news team.
You will notice that all of my profiles that I put on social media, I refer to myself at best as an amateur journalist, not a like amateur. Here it is: YouTuber, comedian, cosplayer, and amateur journalist. Big amateur there. Like.
Okay. I don't know. Gen, do you have any thoughts?
I just love the line, like, surreptitiously hide that much money. Like, have you conceived how much that is, and to try to, like, surreptitiously hide that, like...
Well, I mean, like, I think Ace is claiming that they went in the middle of the night and tried to take the money out of their bank account. Like, it's... Like, they're literally, like claiming that that Grotek came in like a bandit in the night and stole their money.
Yeah! It's crazy!
Like, if you read the thing, like, if you read the full complaint, like, an Ace employee says, like, they jumped in and canceled the money transfer while it was happening. Like,
what?
It's
nearing Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean,
this is a weird timeline.
I'm just going to be fair, though. Like, in the alternative timeline, like, Sean Orange has an eye patch, and one of us is, like, the emperor of the world. I don't know which one of us, but...
Megzy.
Okay, yeah. Like, so, just saying, it's could be worse.
I don't know.
That sounds pretty good.
Is that worse or is that better?
Sean, have I ever seen you in an eye patch?
I mean, my kids. Ooh, lights just flickered. My kids had a pirate day a week or two ago, and apparently everyone at work was disappointed that I didn't wear an eye patch on the Zoom and Skype videos.
If the worst timeline is that Sean has an eye patch and I rule the world, I mean, that sounds okay.
That sounds like a better timeline than the current one.
During quarantine, I've been watching a lot of Discovery, so I was just like, what would the Mirror Universe be like for this? Hmm. And, like, what would the Terran Empire of Nerd and Tai look like?
We just got through watching Alone. Yeah, so I don't recommend watching that during quarantine.
Okay, good to know.
It amazes me. So, and I guess that brings us to our main topic, which is just how we all survive in quarantine.
I'm drinking.
Because I think for how would the mirror... So here's my question, Nick. The Mirror Universe version of Nerd and Tai, like, would it be like the Terran... Like the Terran Empire logo, only with like a tie instead of the sword?
Probably. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. There'd be like bro Nick Izumi or something like that, who would be extremely cisgendered and like thinks Zack Snyder's a good director or something.
Oh,
like,
God.
I don't know. Like,
hey,
I don't want to envision Chad Izumi. Thank you.
I think the proportion of people on this call would be the opposite, because right now I think we've only got one cishet person on here.
Sorry.
I'm waving at you.
Hi.
It would just be a bunch of Sean's.
I mean, I guess I do enjoy being part of the token cis minority.
Well, I mean, I'm a token cis too, so you know.
Yeah, she's labeled on our podcast. It's like
there are cis people on the call.
This is our token
cis. It's just that you're the combination of both.
Oh God, I'm even a smaller minority. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Kyle's cis.
You're safe here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all good.
I am all man.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's several of you that are cis. There's only one of you is also straight.
Yeah. Now, it's to be fair, the Cool and Unusual Punishment people just couldn't be here because their power's out. It just makes Sean more of a minority.
We might currently be getting that storm because Sean and I both flickered.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's Tyler and Jody from Cool and Unusual Punishment. They're up in Chippewa Falls. Their power's out. We lost power in Eau Claire, where I am, for about, like, just, like, 2 minutes, and it came back. And so that's heading both east and south, I think. I don't know. So, Sean, you and Yen are both in Stevens Point. And then Let's Be Legendary folks are in Madison. Kyle, you're, like, Fox Valley.
Yeah. Supposed to start raining at like 8, so.
And I'm like an hour south of the Let's Be Legendary folks.
Yeah,
because
you're down in Janesville. Oh. You're in Janesville, the weird town that produced both, you know, Paul Ryan and Russ Feingold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's a weird fucking town.
We really are the yin-yang.
Pardon my language, I'm not supposed to swear. This is the one podcast where I'm not allowed to swear.
Oh, okay.
This is the only show on the network. Well, this is the only show that I'm on that's not flagged explicit. There are shows on the network that should be flagged as explicit but aren't.
We are.
Yeah.
We should be.
Yeah, it's
we are flagged. Yeah, we're
you are
explicit. Oh my God, the conversation we had in character before we started this was
very
It was funny and not for kids. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I tend to swear a lot on Stormwood and Associates and there's literally an obscenity in the title of BS Free Witchcraft when I say the whole thing.
Yeah.
Famicom Dojo's family friendly?
So far.
I mean, you guys aren't explicit.
That's been
tag.
Our aim.
You're the show that I was thinking of that's not explicit flagged. I don't think Cool and Unusual Punishment is flagged as explicit. either.
I haven't heard them say anything too terrible, but I've only listened to the Joe Luganbill.
Yeah, the
stuff
Luganbill
so far.
One is when they're taking it very seriously. They're gonna do if you listen to any of the non Luganbill episodes, it's usually Jody getting progressively drunker throughout it.
I did hear the first episode. I did hear that.
Yeah,
one.
And because they have to, they're still trying to get more information. They're going to release a regular episode pretty soon that's not Luganbill themed. I'm excited about that because I find that show very amusing, which is why it's on the network.
The other show I'm working on for the network is not going to be explicit, but that's because I want English teachers to be able to use it. That's your hint. That's another hint I'll throw away.
Eventually, you're gonna have to announce that thing.
Because I need to finish editing the current episode that I just recorded, and then I'll be ready.
Because there's a big empty spot for it on the banner on social media.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Right next to Hex Positive. Hex Positive is the new show that's coming to the network from writer Brina Garin. It's a witchcraft. So we're gonna have two witchcraft podcasts on this network, because they're our most popular shows, apparently.
I for one still welcome the witches and all that they do.
I mean, they've definitely taken over the Discord. Witchcraft is 100. Like, if you go to our Discord, if you're not a member of the Nerd and Tie Discord, you can. There's an invite at nerdandtie.com/discord that'll redirect you to an invite. But just fair warning, there are the most active part of that Discord is 100% the witches.
I have nothing to add to it, but I do love reading all three of
the three different
witchcraft.
And
love how like a lot of it is not even like anything close to like quote unquote witchy stuff. Like, a lot of times it's just them like talking about their plants that they're growing, like, oh, I made this for dinner. And it's just like so wholesome and wonderful.
Which
it's
is
only
which
a
is
matter
so
of time before it devolves into Animal Crossing.
There's gosh. We have a video game channel just for that stuff.
No, Animal Crossing is going to take over everything.
Yeah, everything will soon be Animal Crossing.
No, because enough of these people don't have Switches yet. Enough of the people on the Discord don't have Switches and they can't buy them, so...
It's a matter of time.
Yeah, until Nintendo can... Until you can find a Nintendo Switch for under $500.
Nintendo
Switch Lite.
If you can find a Nintendo Switch Lite for under, like, $400.
Yeah, they can't produce them right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the scalpers have driven up the prices dramatically.
That sucks.
It's okay.
I almost swore.
If you go on Facebook in their marketplace...
There's tons of stuff for a dollar.
Well, no.
Right.
No, there was. It's because we just recently got a Switch before the whole thing happened, which you know.
Yeah.
And we got one, and then so Facebook automatically knows it's like, oh, you bought something recently, so we're gonna try and sell you more of it. There was one guy that was selling a slightly used Switch for $150, and I was just like, they showed the box. And I'm like, okay, I'll bite. I looked at it, slightly used. His dog puked on it.
Oh, dear Lord. Oof. He could part that thing out and get way more than the, like, on eBay. Like, that motherboard alone, even non-functional, could get him a couple hundred.
I know. In the description, though, it said, the dog puked on it. The left controller doesn't work, but I think the screen works if you plug it in. I think. So he hasn't tested it yet.
Man. Like,
wow,
the power button for like a Nintendo Switch power button is going for like $20 right now on eBay.
Yeah.
My God.
But it's even my favorite part about it was it's like, can't leave the house due to coronavirus. You come pick it up. It's like,
But I can't leave the house because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a Switch, but I haven't bought Animal Crossing only because I know it will eat my entire life.
It will.
And I have, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've got three podcasts to make. And in theory, I was supposed to have launched Peregrine Lake by now, my comic, which I have not because I've been living through a pandemic and stressed out. But I have finally started Final Fantasy IX. Sean, I have finally started Final Fantasy IX.
Here's the best Final Fantasy. I still haven't started it, so...
Yeah, but I've owned it since it came out. My PS1 copy is still shrink-wrapped. And it's not a greatest hits version. It's the original release. But what I've done, though, is I'm still not opening that up, even though I could play it, because I've got a PS2 that's fully backwards compatible. But so I've bought it on Switch, so I can keep my PS1 copy sealed. So I started playing Final Fantasy IX today, so it is finally off of my pile of shame.
I also have a copy of Final Fantasy IX that is not a limited, that is not the Greatest Hits edition, and I have never played it, but I have the right reason that I never played it.
You don't have a PlayStation?
No, it was sent to me by my aunt back when the game was new, and my aunt is from Great Britain, so it is a British region copy.
It's a PAL version.
It's a PAL version.
GameCube.
Yup.
I have a Japanese GameCube and like 4 games for it that are in Japanese. So if you want to play Japanese WarioWare and kind of figure out how
there's a really minor mod you can make. With I think it's like you solder 2 points with a Switch, and you can like change the region coding.
Yeah, I'll get to it one day. But I could play Japanese Soul Calibur 2. Mario Strikers or game.
I don't trust myself to solder anything like that. So unfortunately, it's just going to hang out on my pile of shame, and I'm going to, I'll play FF9 eventually.
I mean,
FF9 is good.
I've actually never played a Final Fantasy game, mostly because I wasn't allowed to have a console growing up.
Yeah, but I made you watch me play Final Fantasy X.
I've only
beaten 7 and 10. I have played 8, and then I got halfway through it, and then I lost my memory card. And that was just never going to like go back to... here's what happened with 8. So I got halfway through it, and then... like life got in the way, and then I got 9, and I was like, "Oh, I'm not gonna play 9 until I beat 8," and so I had 9, and then I got a PS2.
You know, the continuity between games matters.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Yeah.
But then I got a PS2, and I got 10, and I was like, "Oh, I want to play my new system."
Yeah.
You know. And so I did beat 10. I have played the first Final Fantasy, but never like finished it. Like the NES Final Fantasy, I played a bunch of that and never finished it. But I didn't have a Super Nintendo. I still don't own a Super Nintendo. I have like 2 different Genesises and a freaking 3DO, but I don't have a Super Nintendo.
You know, the Super Nintendo is my second favorite console of all time, and I also don't own one.
Yeah.
So.
That was the one I did
own. And I have one behind me.
Nice.
Like, I use a Super Nintendo-themed controller on my Switch, but I've never had a Super Nintendo. But that's mostly because I like the dual thumbsticks, like, at the bottom in that style more so than the offset.
Yeah, those are
offset.
Very nice.
I had those shoulder buttons. I had an SNES when I was 8, and I sold it.
Oof.
That's
and
like...
Yeah.
Pokemon card. He had like entire binder full of like every single card, and if he still had that today, it would be worth so much. But he like sold it to somebody on his bus.
Well, it's it's growing up. We had Nintendo, and then I went straight from. But like the 16-bit generation is just did not exist in my house. Like we played at other friends' houses. But I went from having an 8-bit Nintendo, but then I got the PlayStation. You know, the PlayStation, the original PlayStation, like I went from 8-bit Nintendo to PlayStation the same Christmas. I got a PlayStation. My brother got an N64. So I had like that first DualShock PlayStation that still like it didn't have the direct AV ports anymore, but still the expansion port. But and it had the relocated laser so it doesn't overheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eventually had like the VCD expansion for that. I sold that PlayStation a long time ago. And because I have a PS2 that's fully backwards compatible, but I regret it because I really like that version of the PlayStation.
It's a good unit.
Yeah.
See, I have, one of the great things about being a younger sibling is that your sister's boyfriends always try to win you over. And so I, two of my consoles.
My sister's boyfriend's never tried to win me over.
I got two of my consoles from my sister's boyfriends at the time.
Nice.
One of them was a SNES, like with controllers, with like at least three games in the box, in the Mario RPG theme box.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's my favorite game of all time.
Work that went inside of it in my basement. And it's like, ooh, I'll have to put that all together.
Does anyone sorry to sidetrack there, but I have never met anyone who has had a bad experience with Super Mario RPG. I've never played it myself. But like everyone I know who played it has like this magical association with it. I was at my friend's house one time and she was very excited to show her her SNES Classic. And was like, no, I gotta show you this. And as soon as she started playing Mario RPG, she like just turned into a child again. And it was just the most magical experience. And I'm glad I was there.
That's what it does to you. It turns you into a child again.
We love that game so much. We actually have it in our podcast.
It's yeah,
the Song of Seven Stars.
It's a book that one of the characters comes across as the Song of Seven Stars. And yeah.
Yeah, and she and her character reads it to our kids as like a bedtime story. And that and the Green Plumber.
Yes, the Green Plumber's Mansion.
Yes.
The Green Plumber's, I love that.
That is the kind of deep cut I'm here for.
Yep.
I don't know. So yeah, it's surviving the quarantine. Have you guys been watching anything interesting?
I have to.
Like the Masters.
Oh yeah, Lego Masters. It's really good.
Super good. And if you haven't seen it, you should go see it. It's super wholesome.
Mm-hmm. It's the most wholesome game show ever.
It is. It's hosted by Will Arnett.
Lego Batman.
You might watch it on a streaming service?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Excellent.
The whole show's on Hulu.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I've been watching on Saturday, Krista and I ended up binging the entirety of I Am Not Okay With This.
I heard that was good. I haven't seen it.
It's really good. It's based off of a comic by the same guy who wrote End of the Effing World is how I'll say it on this show. And it was adapted for television by the same people who adapted that comic for the show. So it's a very interesting coming of age tale.
I watched the entirety of Tiger King.
Same.
I haven't watched the talkback episode yet because that came out after I watched Tiger King.
I have not either. I just watched the whole garbage fire of a show and it was complete garbage. And really, I watched it so I could understand the memes because I kept seeing memes and I was like, I need to know what these memes are about. And I watched the first episode and I was just like, oh my God, I need more. And
yeah.
You're just like, next, yeah.
These people are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all bad.
And I think it was, I forget who it was that made the joke about it. It was like, and then you realize you could have had a tiger for $2,000. And I was like, I had that exact same reaction. Like, I bet I can scrape together $2,000 somehow.
No, bad. Well, don't own tigers. It's a bad idea.
Stimulus package.
If there's any lesson Tiger King should have given you is that people should not buy tigers.
The only stimulus are for the tigers' stomachs.
This was only like the first or second episode, and by the end I was like, I'm glad I didn't know that because
yeah.
That could be me.
Well, the person who comes off best in that entire documentary is the person who people keep claiming killed her husband. Like,
yeah.
I think the best person that came off that show was Saf, the trans man that got Saf his arm ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't actually.
Well, that's
watched
true. Yeah.
Yet,
like.
I haven't either. But it's complete garbage.
It is. Well, what amazes me is that I remember Joe Exotic from his presidential run when Last Week Tonight featured him And so,
I vaguely did, yeah.
Like, I was watching the ad, so I was like, I know who that is. Why do I know who this is? And then it was, like, dawning on me throughout watching Tiger King that, like, oh, he's that guy.
I started watching it for two things. One, for the memes, and two, because I started watching it right when the discourse started about people who watched Tiger King, what you should take away from Tiger King, and just the Tumblr-level discourse. And I was like, I need to watch this garbage fire in response to the garbage fire. So,
yeah.
I mean, it is a nice piece of schadenfreude.
Yeah. Yes.
I watched Alone, which I don't know if anybody else watches Alone.
What is that?
It's on Discovery Channel, or it's on the History Channel, and it's a survival-based game show where they send like 10 people out into the wilderness to live by themselves in like bushcraft level, like serious survival, like type, like they have to build a shelter, they have to forage for food, they have to hunt their own food. Like, we're talking like
very fun to watch if you are comfortable in your own home surrounded by your creature comforts and watching somebody else like, they're freezing to death.
Like, a bear is coming into their encampment. And they basically tap out as time goes by, where they either can't eat, can't hold body weight, or...
Jesus.
Or get...
At what point do they eat the camera crew?
Oh, there's no camera crew. They trained on how to use a camera.
Oh.
Before they start. They are literally alone.
They did that after they ate the first camera crew.
Oh, have you seen the articles about the Donner Party that like people have actually talked to, like that it turns out that the a lot of the story behind the Donner Party was a lot of the death was unnecessary because the Native American tribes that were in the area kept trying to give them food.
Yeah.
And they kept trying to shoot at the Native Americans who were leaving food for them, and it was getting ignored by the, and then the Donner Party took shots at the Native Americans, so the Native Americans were like, okay, fine, we're done. These people from dying repeatedly. And the grand irony that the only reason why none of this was ever has come to light is because no one thought to ask the Native Americans what happened.
Same thing happened in the what's that village? I forgot the village. Roanoke. Everyone's just like this. They left and had, you know, there was a
and
bunch
word,
of people in Roanoke,
Croatoan.
And then they came back and they were all vanished. And it's just like, they got sick and basically assimilated with the Native American tribes that were there.
Yeah,
there's descendants that have this on record.
Yeah, Croatoan is the name for a nearby island.
Wasn't that?
But here's the thing: it doesn't make a good episode of an urban fantasy show to reference that.
That's it.
So
if you can't make it into a supernatural episode, what is the point?
Hey, or an episode of Sleepy Hollow.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow! You were so entertaining until you were awful.
Yeah.
That's a mood.
And then there was that last season, which was kind of okay.
On it.
The last season actually wasn't terrible, but they had done such a terrible thing in the previous season that you're just like, I don't know if I should. I'm not going to keep watching this.
Supernatural got that way for me too. And it's just
Supernatural goes in waves. Where, it gets good, and then it kind of goes down, and then it gets good again, and then it goes down, and then it gets good, and then they kill off some female characters, and then it gets good, and it's, at least...
Then it gets bad.
It it's been pretty decent this final season, and now it's delayed because they can't shoot the rest of it because of the virus. Supernatural was finally going to end. Supernatural was finally going to be over. Oh my God. So, Croatoan, coronavirus, very similar words. Croatoan is this like malevolent evil in the earlier seasons of like Supernatural. Did we tempt fate by trying to cancel Supernatural?
And now
I literally dare you to go on a conspiracy Facebook group and post that.
Conspiracy groups haven't been fun since 9/11.
Oh my God.
Wrong.
I still think it's really hilarious because, like, with Supernatural, I'm very used to their fan base, like, being a certain, like, stereotype, you know? So when I heard that my boyfriend's parents started watching Supernatural, I was just like, okay, that's cool. Try new things. And they got, like, really into it.
But do they ship Destiel?
Did you see this one episode? Oh, and in this one, they do this. And do you want to watch an episode with us? And blah, 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 blah. I mean, it makes...
What year is it?
Giving really easy, but...
Like, if you think about that show, it's so weird. Like, when that show came on, I think Arrested Development hadn't been canceled the first time. Like,
really?
Veronica Mars was on the air.
Yeah, ooh. I remember that.
That show was about 8 seasons in before I realized it wasn't Charmed. I had not noticed when Supernatural started, and when I heard that there was this show Supernatural, I just thought it was Charmed.
They look so similar.
I didn't watch it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't see stills from it. I just saw there was a show called Supernatural, and
the
I
original
made
Charmed.
Yes.
The original Charmed. The only good thing about it was Love Spit Love cover of the Smiths' "How Soon Is Now," and the great tragedy of streaming is that they didn't secure the rights to that song for streaming, and so they don't have the theme song.
It's not right.
It's not as bad as the Birds of Prey TV series losing its theme song, but that story is even more hilarious. So, Sean, you remember the Birds of Prey television show?
Oh, I do, indeed.
And you remember that theme song, I'd Start a Revolution, mm-hmm. by Amy Allen?
Yes.
Well, you know, the reason why that theme song is not on streaming is not because they couldn't pay for that. Like, the Love Spit Love cover of How Soon Is Now was also on the Kraft soundtrack and, like, you know, charted. The theme song to Birds of Prey, the TV series, did not chart anywhere. But the reason why it's not on the streaming version is because they can't license it. Because the company that owns the rights to that entire album and why Amy Allen's entire album never came out went bankrupt and no one is sure who to pay.
Oh my God.
They can't pay anyone.
Just use it and figure it out later. Find out who sues you.
I know, right?
It's the Macross Do You Remember Love conundrum all over again.
So yeah, it's the reason why that has gotten like, and it's such a different tone on that opening theme.
Uh-huh.
Like, at least with Charmed, they found a sound alike that was, like, relatively the same tempo. But no, not even close on the Birds of Prey opening. I mean, it's not a great show.
When you bring up lost media rights, you reminded me of my favorite example of media rights getting lost and then a company still trying to release it. Easily the best example comes from my good buddies at Harmony Gold. As you might remember them from the catastrophe that was Robotech. Well, in the last Robotech box set, they decided to include, for the first time on DVD, Robotech the movie, which was half footage from the OVA Megazone 2-3 and half footage from the anime series Super Dimension Cavalry Southern Cross. Here's the thing. Harmony Gold lost the rights to the footage from Megazone 2-3, so every time, which is most of the movie, that it's the Megazone footage, they just have storyboards telling you what's supposed to be there, And then it cuts back to the Southern Cross footage when it's the stuff they still have the rights to.
Oh my god.
I just... What? That is amazing.
Oh. Robotech is a garbage fire, and I still cannot believe that it's still around. Somehow.
The ghost of Carl Masek haunts you.
It really does.
I don't know. The weirdest thing about television right now is that right now I'm, you know, regularly watching both Charmed and Roswell, and it's 2020.
Yep. Sure is.
You know what? I've been doing a lot of, because I found out about the freebie streaming service Tubi that runs a lot of weird TV shows, but with ads.
They have that Deep Space Nine documentary on it. I've been meaning to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to watch that yet. I've been watching a lot of Tokusatsu. They have 12 Super Sentai shows, including my beloved Jetman, which was never adapted into a season of Power Rangers. It is, but it is like one of the older ones. So you've got Jetman and the original 1970s Kamen Rider. And I have been watching a lot of those lately. And oh man, cheesy rubber Japanese superheroes, way too much gore and death for what we would consider normal for children shows. It's just a trip. I'm having a really good time right now.
Cheesy rubber, I hardly know her. Buy me dinner first, Jesus.
Sean.
I've mostly been trying to stay away from TV because that's all I do at work.
Fair.
Watch TV after I edit it. So it's, yeah, I try to not watch TV because then Good Morning America is on right afterwards. And I'm just like, no, I don't want to hear everything we just reported on, but on a national level over again.
I don't watch a lot I don't really watch live TV. We pay for Sling, so we have live channels, but usually it's all the stuff I watch on Sling is still the on-demand content. Like, the most irritating thing for me is, and this is when we were watching Picard, that it was really driving me nuts, that, like, all of these, like, coronavirus ads all the time. Because I'm cheap. I pay for the with ads version of CBS All Access because I also pay for, like, every other streaming service, and so if there's a with ads tier, I take it because, you know, I need to, that's how I can afford to have all the, like, that service too, is to buy it with ads. And like, I'm just like, I'm trying to pretend I'm in space. Stop reminding me of the nightmare out my door.
So I came across a webcomic today, really, that I read. I got several chapters into and I had to stop because it was about a world where people are trapped inside. They can't go outside. They are stuck in a very similar self-quarantine situation because people are randomly turning into monsters. And the
relatable.
These monsters do not spread like zombies by bite. Nobody knows how it's spreading. You can exhibit symptoms for like a month before you turn into one.
I bet it's social media.
So, like, I discovered it today, got several chapters in, and had to put it down. It's just like, I can't read this anymore. This is way too familiar.
Well, you know, I am so glad I ended Unconventional this last December. So for listeners who don't know, for 10 years, I had a webcomic, Unconventional, about people who ran a convention. And I decided that after like 10 chapters, there were no more major unique storylines for me to tell in the convention world. And I ended it. But like, that comic took place in real time. Like, it was like their 2019 storyline was taking place in 2019. So I would have 100% had to have written an entire, like, if I had kept going, I would have had to write, and I would be like spending all this time writing a like self-quarantine storyline about the convention being canceled and like all this stuff.
Every episode would just be, hey, we're still canceled.
Yeah, like every, well, it would just be like, it would be like writing about characters self-isolating and what was happening in their homes. And I'm just like, I don't want to write, like, I'm putting off writing Peregrine Lake, and that's set like 10 years in the future from now. So I don't need to worry about that. And I'm having problems writing that right now. It's like, I don't, oh my God. Like, if I had to just recycle my actual reality as the comic right now, which is what
I
would be
like
doing.
That's like 10 steps away from loss.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm just like, that would have been, so like, I am so glad, like, the last comic went up in December. I was done. It is done. And I can, you know, people can imagine what those characters are doing. I'm not coming up with the canon. Screw it. I am so glad. Like, you know, I, because part of me considered, you know, maybe I'll do it one more year. No.
No.
Well,
this wasn't it.
Canon now.
Made the right call. Oof.
Yep.
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've been trying to, like, catch up on or, like, I don't know, read.
Has anybody tried some of the BuzzFeed suggestions, like try yoga, or maybe cook something you've never cooked before?
Yeah.
Maybe train your dog.
My 380-pound ass is going to try yoga. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's, I live in a 500.
Everybody could do the split.
My wife and I live in a 500-square-foot apartment. All I am, all we are happy is, we're just happy that we like each other. Like, we're just really happy that we like each other, because we're both working from home right now. I work from home normally. I've been working from home for like 10 years, so like I'm like, right now, like, my podcast studio is also my work office. Like, there are like 10 screens on this desk, not a joke, including a nice big 32-inch one with an Apple TV hooked up to it. Or is that 30? I think it's 36. I don't know. I should pull out some measuring tape. I got it for $25 at Menards Surplus.
Nice.
If you can get a $25 HDTV, you get a $25 HDTV. It's like actually a commercial monitor.
Oh, nice.
Designed for in-store displays. It's, $25. And then I spent another $25 on a stand for it. with a VIS amount, because it just didn't, like, Kevin. But I don't know. It's Kyle, you've been kind of quiet. How are you surviving, guy who works in a grocery store?
Oh, God. I mean, I work at night, so fortunately I don't have to deal with customers. I don't even have to wear a mask because I don't even work next to my coworkers. So that's nice. But it's exhausting. You know, I'm finding myself in the weird position of having less time to watch anything.
Yeah.
That, it's rough. Yeah, I have kids, so I'm always tired. I've always been tired, but I'm even more always tired now. It's, yeah. Before quarantine, I was, doing a lot of, like, I'm binging all of Buffy for the first time, and I watched, like, 4.5 seasons of that, and I got 1.5 episodes into the final season, and I just stopped because
Xander's kind
don't...
of a creep.
Yeah, Xander sucks. But I like most of the characters. And it's just, I got 1.5 episodes into the final season, and I couldn't go any farther. That was a month ago, and I watched very little stuff, for myself since then. The other day I watched like 3 episodes of French called Vampires from like, I think last year, maybe this year. It was actually pretty good. And
I'm sorry,
that,
you kind of broke up a little bit there. What did you get episodes of?
Oh, 3 episodes of a French series called Vampires from, I think, last year.
Oh.
Oh.
And it was, it was actually really good. It's you know, just about a girl who is like half vampire, and you know, her problems with school and family.
Okay.
Slice
yeah,
like
neat. And of course, you've made time to be on Stormwood and Associates.
I have.
In which
been
you
on
GM Stormwood the upcoming arc that premieres on Friday.
Yeah, I did.
He sounds so dejected.
It went fine. It went fine. I'm not good.
Did I ruin everything, Kyle? Did I just ruin everything, Kyle?
You're so cautious. You don't throw yourself into the plot.
It's not the character. He's got to play to the character.
The character's insane.
Yeah, NK is because I'm currently playing NK. So and she is nuts. The ruling philosophy of NK is that she doesn't she only remembers the last 5 years of her life and pretty much is incredibly reckless because she figures she has nothing to lose.
What does that sound like? Shut up.
And also, like, so I'd been playing Kel for so long on this show. I think Kel was very, like, Kel wasn't impulsive. He was kind of gung-ho, but, like, always had a plan. Like, I think as Kel, I talked us out of, like, at least two different boss fights.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, because, like, there was the one way back at the Reigns of Terror arc that you GM'd, Kyle, that, like, I talked us out of that. And then when we had Brittany guest GM for the Sanctuary arc, I hired one of the people we were fighting.
Yeah.
And got her to turn on her sister.
Good job.
And now she's our receptionist. I had to get the character sheet because she's now a permanent NPC. She's in the logo now.
So I have a weird confession to make. Every time I hear Sanctuary arc, all I can think is, I still can't believe Netflix dubbed more of Saint Seiya. Because, like, that's where my brain goes.
I got you.
I've still never watched Saint Seiya.
We finally got past the Sanctuary arc in America. Do you know how much that means to fans of ultra-violent shonen anime?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll say the one thing with this entire pandemic is the parents on this call, you have my sympathies because I can't imagine self-isolating with children.
Oh, it's not too bad.
I have cats.
Sean, how many kids do you have?
Three. Two of them were in school and are now no longer in school. Fortunately, my wife is more or less pleased with the situation because she actually likes having the kids home, apparently, unlike every other mother she ever talks to. So she's been able to do this quasi homeschooling thing. Although because our kids aren't exposed to a lot of screens, it's making everyone a little cranky. So it's been an adjustment, but since I'm working from home too, I can come upstairs, have lunch with everybody, hang out before and afterward. It's a little better in some ways, but on the other hand, I think that they would really appreciate being able to do more.
I think it's going to get harder as the weather gets nicer.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've been needing a new car for almost a year now.
Ouch.
Thankfully, Megzy and I work at the same place, so we just carpool. But I've been needing a new car, and I've been looking for like relatively good quality used cars. There's a lot of them now for under 10 grand.
I bet.
It's almost like nobody's buying cars on the used car lots. They need to pay their lease.
Yeah, almost. I've been saving for a while.
I get really excited when I have to go get gas now. I'm just like, guys, I get to go get gas.
I haven't gotten gas in a month.
Is this 1997 again or what?
It's so weird.
I filled up my tank a week before gas prices dropped.
Oh.
And my wife was already working from home, so I haven't, like, I still have 3/4 of a tank, and I haven't gotten gas since before St. Patty's Day.
Oh.
Yeah, I filled up my tank yesterday for $14.
We filled up ours for 11, I think.
Yeah, ours is 11.
I mean, I drive a little Nissan Versa. It's not like it's ever been expensive to fill up that tank.
Yeah, we have a Prius, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And I just finished paying it off.
Yay. Also nice.
Yeah. We keep thinking about getting a new car. Really, we want something with either four-wheel or all-wheel drive because of the winters.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to get a Jeep Wrangler because I want a convertible that is sensible to have. And
Chris, you want a RAV4, right?
Yes.
Or was it an Outback? Were you a true lesbian and wanted an Outback? have one lesbian car with being the Prius, so, you know, might as well just round it out.
I thought it was the Subaru that was
The Subaru Outback. That's the Outback
that's
is a Subaru.
10X.
Oh, sorry. I had my
It's okay. It's okay.
So I had a girlfriend who had a RAV4. What does that mean?
I will let you figure that out.
Yeah, we're not. I'm not touching that. I'm not touching that one.
You don't have that girlfriend anymore.
That's true. I do not.
But she might have one.
I mean, last I checked, she had a husband. That could have changed.
I mean, Sean, you got to remember, at least two of my ex-girlfriends have ended up engaged to Laura. So.
Wait, the same Laura?
Wait.
Well, it was different times, because Jess.
Oh.
Oh, snap, right. Dang,
yeah,
I didn't go back far enough.
Yeah, because you remembered Aaron, but you didn't remember Jess.
Yeah, I forget.
We all forget Jess. for different reasons.
God.
There are a lot of Jesses in,
they were numbered in college.
Yeah, we had to track that.
The Jess that's on the Let's Be Legendary crew is Jess with one S, so they get to be Jess with one S.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
The
one tier Jess, as we call them.
Yes.
I have too many Scots. I have
really?
Too many Chris's, too.
Too many Steve's.
You know what? There's too many names.
Really?
No, the problem is there's not enough names.
There's not enough names.
Words are hard. I mean, I made up my own name because my given name was just too common, so, you know.
And people still can't pronounce it.
I'm Megzy at work, and I get Mackenzie and Magazine. And
but I get my name like misspelled in emails. I cannot tell you how many advertisers I'll like send them a proof, and my signature says Glenn Propp, GEN, and they respond back, "Thanks, Glenn." Blah 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 blah, and I'm just like. It's right there.
I don't know. What amazes me is how many people try to spell my name as Tria, T-R-E-A, instead of T-R-A-E. Like, how do you think that's pronounced? Like, my name is four letters.
I don't know. I don't want to, use my legal last name on the show. But for whatever reason, people keep adding a Z to it. Yeah. There is a hard G sound in my last name, but for some reason everyone turns that hard G sound into a Z, and I do not know why. Not a Zoom. That is a Z sound.
Yeah, I was gonna say Igsby.
Because my screen name I stole from a Pat Labor character.
Yeah.
That's just
assumed that.
Yeah. And of course everyone just refers to Kyle as the Rock.
Yes.
Or is that just me? Yeah. It's just always fun to call you Kyle the Rock Johnson. It's, I don't know why.
Sure.
It's just a dumb joke. I meant to introduce you that Kyle, way, but then I forgot to introduce you.
Yeah. Good job.
Kyle, the name that's almost as bad as Chad.
What the fuck, Kyle? Step up, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the world is terrible, and we all have names. I guess that actually needs to take us to the mailbag portion of the show.
What? Okay.
That is an interesting segue.
Look, man, I got what I got.
Yeah. Nothing's happening right now
on the show.
All right.
Get anything better.
Digging into the mailbag as we go, you know, because we've been chatting for an hour. In 5 minutes. So to go into the mailbag. In the mail, we've got one email in here, and it comes from Zach Beck, the bucket man himself. Subject discussion question. Message. What do you feel is the worst song from the 1980s?
There's so many to choose from.
Oh my god, I know this one.
You know
this. I do. I can't remember what it is though, because this is empty now, and I'm gonna look it up.
Can we appreciate the fact that my wife was drinking rosé wine in a mason jar?
About to put Pinot Grigio.
That sounds like someone who lives in Madison.
Wow, you got it. You win.
The mason jar. You win the mason jar.
I mean, like, it's when you move to Madison, they give you a set of mason jars, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's just,
yeah.
It's in the welcome package.
Where are mine?
is that how it?
I came with my own when I moved to Madison, because.
Yeah, her mom keeps dropping off mason jars full of spaghetti sauce, and I keep telling her, you know your mom's not getting these back, right? Like, these are mine now.
Like, I don't care. My mom doesn't care.
Good, because guess what?
My
song.
I don't know that. I think my pick. I had to think about this, but one song came to mind, and it is Mr. Dandy, the closing song from the first episode of Bubblegum Crisis. I know I have to take it back to 80s anime. With reality.
I mean,
but
yeah, fine.
But yes, that is my vote. Mr. Dandy from the first episode of Bubblegum Crisis.
Oh, where's my... There we go. I have a song that... the song that is by the... by the singer Paul Lukakis, and it is called Boom Boom. And I heard it once as a child... And it was released in 1982. I heard it once as a child. I only literally heard it once on the radio, and it was stuck in my head for, it was stuck in my head for like 10, like, I could still hear it. But here you go. Film the intro. This is Boom Boom by Paul Lukakis, which has a longer intro than I remembered.
Hey, yeah, this is great. I don't know what you're talking about.
How's about coming back to my room for a little boom boom?
That is not what that word means.
This is the song my parents didn't want to explain to me on the radio when I was six.
My kids hear Knock and Boots on the radio because they listen to country in the car, and he just thinks that a pair of boots knocking at the door and thinks it's hilarious.
We gotta get to the chorus.
I'm feeling this song is sexy. Yeah.
It came on the radio while
I hear the phrase boom boom, that's
so it came on the radio while driving to my grandparents' house as a small child. And then my brother and I, for the rest of our childhood would just start singing this song, much to the unenjoyment of my parents. Just boom, boom, boom.
I think I'm cured of being ace. I think.
That's what did it. It was boom, boom. All
yeah,
right.
It did.
I love it when they use baby talk at me.
You know, okay. There's like a more recent butt rock song that also uses boom boom as a, like, phrase for sex. And, like, the refrain is blame it on the boom boom. And
I'm oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
I'm just like,
yeah.
This is one of two things. This is either a rock song to explain the birds and the bees to your kids, or it's the thing you say to the person that you keep chained up in your basement. Oh, blame it on the boom boom.
Oh, God.
The one I'm thinking of is Boom 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 by the Benga Boys.
I love that song.
I know.
It's
I
so
know.
Dumb.
It's so stupid.
The only Benga Boys song I know is the Six Flag commercial, so.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it sounds very similar,
it's basically the same song, but
The only reason I remember that song is if you have to Google a video, which is it's Boom 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 Street Dance, and it's like somebody has that song blasting out their window,
and everybody
in the street is dancing, and everybody in the street basically joins the dance party, and there's like somebody on the car like dancing up, and
it's hilarious.
I was just like, I'll never forget that song. Now.
So
it's great.
So I have a terrible song from the 1980s. I would put toward this challenge.
Okay.
The challenge is
question. Is now.
All right. Challenge accepted is Into the Night by Benny Mardones.
I feel like I know this name by name, but
I'm going to read some of the lyrics because
the
first lyric is, "She's just 16 years old."
No.
Oh, dear.
Leave her alone, they say. Separated by fools who don't know what love is yet. But I want you to know, if I could fly, I would pick you up, I'd take you into the night, and show you love like you've never seen, ever seen.
She's 16, stop.
Ooh.
maybe the singer is 15?
No, he's not.
No.
I was only a child of 16. I've aged a year since then. Oh.
Yeah. All I do is look at the music video because it is. The song was released in 1980, and the music video is so
Ray,
bad.
You're on fire.
Like,
the music video, if I remember it, involves a magic carpet.
There is a magic carpet. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how old this guy was when he wrote this song.
A statutory carpet, apparently.
Yeah, looks like a teenager, but the girl that's in the video sure does.
Yeah, he was 33 when he released
this
song.
Oh, no!
No!
Oh.
Yeah, look that up. It's a trip. That's that.
I'm good. Next.
I'm okay.
420.
Yeah,
with some medicine.
It's got some like early CG in it, but like really obviously really bad CG.
Have you guys seen Cats?
This is better. This is better than Cats. So yeah, Into the Night.
We didn't know Cats was going to be a theme tonight, but I'm glad it was. I'm really glad.
I'm going to watch Cats after.
Speaking
this
of Cats, you should listen to the upcoming storyline on Stormwood and Associates that starts this Friday. All right, so with that, we need to move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, for those of you who do not know, is the part of the show where I read a line from the book, and the challenge to you, the listener, is to guess what book I am reading from. If you guess correctly, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, we read your name aloud every episode. 2, we put your name on the website, on a page, which is now really hard to find, but it's there, we promise. And 3, nothing else. You don't get anything else.
What more do you want?
This
Jeez.
Is a free thing. This is just a dumb, fun thing we do. The current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamai, Zero, Rin Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Band, Core Fan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Source, Paper Godzilla, Cavsy, The Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, Sakura Sunset, Joel Kreisman, Patrick Delahanty, and Wonderland Hearts.
Woo! Aw, yeah.
This is one of the rare times when one of the people in the Hall of Awesome is on the episode.
Yeah.
All right, so I have been reading this book for a really long time, so someone please guess it. So I can pick a different one. Will put the knife back in the rucksack, and he and the bear exchanged another glance, but a different kind this time. That's your sentence. If you know what that book is, don't say it on the episode.
I was going to joke that I knew it, but...
If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com/contact, go to the form, fill it out, and tell me. Or...
I can't spell.
Okay.
God!
So, if you know what book that's from, put it in the form. Or if you have anything else you'd like to tell us, anything else you'd like to write in, if you want to include anything for our mailbag segment, your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your weird time that you were at a Denny's and you met that one guy who said that thing that was like just kind of off, but also not creepy enough to like make you leave the Denny's. Just tell us about that too in the contact form. Go to nerdandtie.com/contact. Fill out the form. Do the thing. Trick the captcha into thinking you're a human and tell us. All right. I'm
getting an awful lot of, hey, no, don't tell him to do that. I specifically set that up so Rick Deckard would stop sending us stuff.
All right. So, with that in mind, I guess we kind of have to find a way to do an outro on this many people.
I mean, with your talent of segues, I have
But on intros,
I
introduce everyone. On the outros, I start the outro, and then everyone says who they were. So when it's just three of us, it's easy to get through because I am Trey Dorn, and then who the heck were you people?
I'm Trey Dorn, and these are some people that showed up.
I'm also Trey Dorn, and these are some more people that showed up.
I'm Spartacus.
Sorry, I got confused. I need some more of this.
All right, so
I didn't think I was Trey Dorn, but now I think I might be.
You were born the same month.
Oh no!
Only 20 days apart. That's you did true. Live at the same address for 3 years.
That's also very true.
And we're the same height.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think confirmed.
Yeah. Okay, so
have you ever seen them in the same room together?
Yes, many times. Many times.
I haven't.
Definitely.
We are all Trey Dorm.
All right, so joining me this episode was, of course, Nick and Gen, who are amazing people. Kyle the Rock Johnson from Stormwood and Associates was here. You can find more Kyle at nerdandtie.com/Stormwood. Or what's your Twitter, Kyle?
You can find me at Llamaphilia.
Llamaphilia.
Hey, folks. At this point in the recording, a blackout hit Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where I, Trey Dorn, happen to live. So my soundboard lost power, the recorder lost power, and everything lost power for me, which was not great. But because my computer was on a battery backup, my webcam kept going, and I wasn't disconnected from the Skype call. So what everyone saw was still me on video, because we were using video for just, for funsies. Everyone saw me, and they couldn't hear me, and I couldn't hear them. And I had to scramble to try to finish the episode. Thankfully, we have a backup recording going when we do these. So that's what you're going to hear the audio from for the rest of the episode. Let's see their reactions, because I don't know if they think I'm just leaving this all in, because this is just, this is what happened, man, and this is the show.
Oh, you went out, Trey.
Does anybody else can hear, or is that just us?
I can't hear him either.
I can't hear him.
I can see him moving.
Yeah, it's like his lights went out.
He knows how to edit, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Here, I'll help.
Found you, Kyle. I'm gonna follow you. I'm following you now.
Follow you back.
Oh, well, that was a Let's Be Legendary. They're gonna follow you too. I'm gonna follow you on mine. I've got way too many Twitters on my Twitter app.
All right, can you guys hear me? I can't hear you right now. I just lost.
We can hear you.
Sounds like
we
you're on a different mic.
I have my sound on. So if you can hold on just a minute. I need to redo my sound settings so I can have sound of some sort.
Welcome to an episode of Nerd and Tie, everybody.
I'm Trey Dorm, your host.
Yeah, me too. Wow.
No, I'm Trey Dorm.
I'm Trey Dorm.
No, I'm Trey Dorm.
Trey Dorm.
Trey Dorm.
Trey Dorm.
He's just going to come back to this, like,
Trey
whole thing.
Trey Dorm.
Trey Dorm.
Trey
Trey Dorn.
Trey Dorn.
Trey Dorn.
Trey
Dorn.
Trey Dorn.
Gonna go back to this recording.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna hear all this. Be like, what the heck, you guys? Oh, I got a new follower. It's Kyle. Yay. What'd you do?
I
think
I gave myself a paper cut.
Oh no.
No.
Oh no.
There we go. Can you guys hear me?
Trey Dorn.
Trey
Dorn.
I'm the one flower. So I'm going to have to, man, because the good news is the digital recorder has batteries built in, so when it lost power, it kept recording. So I didn't lose any of the audio on the high quality version.
Hey.
Oh, you're going to love it.
But this has been recording the whole time on the backup recording, which is why we use Skype.
Yeah, enjoy.
Enjoy.
So for listeners, I'm just going to cut. What I'm going to do is I'm going to download this audio, which is why we're recording it. And then meanwhile, my battery backup beeps in the background at me. I'm going to say, as I am now literally thanking God for this battery backup, it's only going to last a few more minutes. So I need to shut this computer down. You guys should check out Let's Be Legendary.
Let's Be Legendary podcast.com.
Yeah, you should check out
Famicom Dojo
at FamicomDojo.tv.
Sup.
And you can follow this show on social media by going to, we're at Nerd and Tie on Twitter. Nerdandtie.tumblr.com and facebook.com/nerdandtie. There are lots of fun shows on the network, and normally I'd plug one here, but we already plugged two, and we plugged Hex Positive earlier, and stuff. So, Nick, say your catchphrase, and I'll edit in the end theme over this instead of live doing it, because I need to turn this computer off before it shuts down on me.
Keep on spocking in the free world!
Yay! And hopefully I'm audible on this recording, because I have no idea whether it's using my headset mic or my computer's built-in microphone. So it's a neat, fun experiment. And you kids all have a good time. I'm going to stop recording now.
Yeah.
Built-in microphone.